So last week, a salesman in Huntersville, his name is John, was out calling on his the territory in the mountains. Now John sells vacuum cleaners. He specializes in rural areas and especially farms. And he has a unique technique for selling these vacuum cleaners. And I've actually mentioned to you one time before. Very good at this. So what he does is when he knocks on the door and a person opens the door, he just walks right in, he reaches in the bag, and he pulls out a whole bag full of manure and scatters it all over the rug. And he says, if this vacuum cleaner will not clean up that rug, I'll eat that manure. So on Wednesday, he was at pulled up to a farm up in the mountains near my hometown of Asheville. Knocked on the door, lady opened the door, he walked in, reached in the bag, threw manure all over the rug and said, "Madam, if this vacuum cleaner will not clean up that rug, I'll eat that manure." The lady looked at the rug. She looked at John. She said, "Well, mister, I'll loan you a fork because we ain't got no power in this house." So what I gotta say? You know, you gotta do something to follow John Fortner, right? Who knew John Fortner could be so funny? Seriously. So our lives run the risk of being a mess, of causing messes, of being less than we and God hope them to be because we don't have power. Or we don't have enough power, or we don't have the right kind of power. Well, today, Jesus offers the power that we need to clean up our messes and to stop making messes of our lives and to receive all the goodness of God that we could have ever hoped for. And Jesus does this as he continues on our series of offering us invitations. And if we'll just say yes to his invitations with our lives and with our words, he'll fill our lives with amazing blessings and goodness. So today, Jesus offers us this invitation to blessings through the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And what's happening here is Jesus has just finished praying. If you look at the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is constantly going off and praying. Well, he just finished, and obviously the disciples were watching him. And so they asked Jesus, "Jesus, will you teach us to pray?" Now, this obviously was of great importance to these disciples because although Jesus taught them a lot, only once in the entire Gospel, all four Gospels, do they ever ask Jesus to teach them, something. They said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." And Jesus answers at the beginning with what we call the Lord's Prayer, but then he goes deeper and he becomes more personal. And he offers them and offers us today this invitation to power through prayer that will bless us and fill us with the goodness of God. Here's how it goes. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who seeks finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you," Jesus says, "if a child asks for fish, will give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, will give them a scorpion? If you then, as bad as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit and give what is good to those who ask him?" Is there anything about your life that needs God's guidance? Is there anything about your life that needs God's power? Is there anything about your life that God needs to enter into? In your marriage, in your family, in the relationships, in your school, in your work, in your life, in your future? Then Jesus invites us to pray. Seek, ask, knock, and God will answer and give you what is good. Now, some of you have said to me, "Well, why do we have to pray? God knows what we need." But Jesus, over and over and over again through the Bible, makes clear that God gives us what we need when we ask. Jesus says, "Whoever asks will receive." You see, as we know, Duke Energy, as Elaine would attest to, has all this power that they want to flow into our homes. But if we decide never to flick that switch, our homes and our lives will just live in darkness. Well, that's what Jesus tells us needs to happen for us. He says, seek and ask and knock, and then God will give us not always what we ask for, but what is good. For you see, it is by prayer that we open up our lives to the light of God to shine on our paths and guide our steps. It is through prayer that God comes into our lives and gives us what we need. It is through prayer that God comes in and fills our lives with Himself. We see Jesus promises when we pray not that He will give Fred exactly what he asked for. Maybe He will. What Jesus says is God will send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give you what is good, because what the Bible attests to is when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, the Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you and encourage you and empower you and heal you and fill your life with a peace that the world cannot take away, and fill your life with His presence. And those fruits of the Holy Spirit that you now know so well, of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and forgiveness and compassion and new life. See, these verses contain great wisdom and riches about prayer. Just these little verses. And in a moment, I'm going to discuss with you three promises of prayer that Jesus makes. But first, I want to focus on an important truth about how it is that Jesus' promises can come true for your marriage and your family. Now, I know that not everybody here is married. Not everybody here has children. But what Jesus promises here, and what I want to lift up for you here, applies to every relationship. If we want the Spirit of God to give us what is good, to guide and fill and bless our families, it must start like this, son. And like this. In order for us, my friends, to have a healthy family, we have to have a healthy marriage, which depends on husbands and wives coming together and praying for each other. Praying for God to bless their marriage. Our parents get so caught up in their children that we forget about ourselves. And what God wants us to do, my friends, as husbands and wives, to pray together with each other for these promises of Jesus to come true in our lives, to fill our lives with what God wants for us in our marriage. And if we want our families to live healthy, God-filled lives, and our families need to look like this. Our families coming together and praying together, praying for each other. For God to bless my sister, my brother, my mom, my dad. To pray for God to work in our lives. To give us that joy and peace and patience and kindness and forgiveness that Jesus wants for us. Now, I think it's great that we pray at mealtimes. I think it's great that you do one-on-one with your children at night, but my friends, that's great and that's important. But for our families to know where we stand and forget the Holy Spirit of God to flow through our family, this is what needs to happen, my friends. To show that Jesus is so important in your life that you set aside time with your children and your spouse to pray together for each other. And for the Holy Spirit to come in and give you and flow in your life with His power. And with all that that means. So I encourage every person here this week, every husband and every wife, to set aside time, hold hands together, and pray for God to lead and guide and fill your life with His blessings. And what He wants for your marriage. And I pray that you will care enough about what God can do in your family to sit down as a family and gather together and hold hands together and pray for each other. And pray for God to fill your life with His Holy Spirit and bless your family, for your family to speak to whatever is in your heart and just see what God will do. For Jesus promises that what God will do is to give your marriage and your family and your life what is good. Beginning with Jesus' first promise of prayer, which is to seek for God to guide you. And He will open your eyes to see what He wants you to do and who He wants you to be. Whoever seeks, Jesus says, will find. Whoever will find. The key to understanding this promise of Jesus is that word seek, which comes from a Greek word which means to search for and to try to discover. And really the correct translation, as I understand of these words, is not to seek, but to keep on seeking. Never give up. Just keep on seeking to discover what it is that God wants for you. You see, if we just seek, if we try to discover what God wants for our lives and we keep at it, what happens is we begin to see with God's eyes. We begin to see our relationships and our futures and the way we live with God's eyes. I know how this happens. I saw this in a secular way when I was a lawyer. When I was a lawyer and I was a young lawyer, I learned, shocking to me, that lawyers who had more experience and more knowledge actually understood how to solve problems in different ways that I never saw. And fresh out of law school, that was a shock. And what I learned was the more time I spent with these lawyers who had experience and knowledge, the more I began to see with their eyes, the more I began to see the possibilities that if I hadn't been with them and learned from them, I would never have seen. Well, the same is true with God. The more time we spend with God, the more time we open our lives to His Holy Spirit and ask Him to guide our lives, the more we begin to see, hey, that's what God wants for you. This is the way you're to walk in all the parts of your life. It's especially true, my friends, because it is that God does not leave us on our own. God gives us two helpers, and the first one is this, and that is the Bible, His Word. If we just pray without God's Word, we're just praying to ourselves. We're basing on our experience. Just like if I were a young lawyer, and I didn't pay any attention to those other lawyers, and I just did it my way. That's a good way to lose a lot of jury trials right there. So what happens is we need to turn when we pray to God's Word. Bring together the power of God's Word with our prayer to connect us with God's Word. And when that happens, God's Word begins to speak to us. Things come off the page we never would have seen before. And God gives us a second helper, which is each other. Todd? You see, it is so essential to our understanding what God wants for our lives to connect with our sisters and brothers. Because even if we're praying for God's Word, we're still looking at it through our lens. And everybody that is a Christian brother or sister can open our eyes to see something we never see, because in a way they say to me, Fred, you got yourself in the way of this, brother. And that's something that gets out of your sight so you can see what God wants for you. And so my prayer for you is that you will gather with sisters and brothers in your small groups. And I hope that all of you are now at the point or will become where you are vulnerable enough to say, this is an issue I have in my life. And I need your help. Will you pray not only for me, but will you pray with me? I think all of you know before you ever leave my office, I will always pray with you. And when we're on the phone and something's going on, I will always pray with you. With you. So I hope in your small groups you will say, this is something happened in my life, and I want you to pray with me, and I want you to open God's Word with me to guide me to receive what God wants to give me that is good. And I promise you, my friends, that I'll give you that $5 that Sally Walker's been holding on for 7.5 years with interest if that does not happen for you. I know it's true. Because I'm standing up here today because I asked two small groups of Christian brothers and sisters and some close friends and my faith-filled sweetie what it is that God wanted for my life 8.5 years ago. And they guided me to come here. But for now, my friends, I'd still be in jury trials today. And I pray that you will have the courage and the wisdom to sit with your sisters and brothers. Have them pray with you and open God's Word for you. I want to share with you, this is what happened to Julie. I don't know Julie, but I know her pastor. And he shared this story with me. Julie's husband died suddenly, leaving her with two small children and no job. And Julie was desperate to know what she was to do with her life, how she was to get on with her life. And the only thing she knew to do was to go to her small group and ask them to pray with her and to open her eyes to what God's will and way was for her in this terrible place in her life. She was desperate. Maybe that's the only time we do it. And so they prayed with Julie, and they began to open God's Word with Julie. And one Wednesday evening, they were reading Psalms, and over again, they saw in the Psalms how it is that people serve God and open up to God with music. And suddenly, it just dawned on her. Julie said, "I love music. I've been playing the piano since I was a child. I play it every day. I would love to find a way to serve God and to connect with God through music." And one of the parents said, "Wait a minute. Our piano teacher for our daughter just had to move out of town. We need a teacher. Would you teach our daughter?" And one student and one lesson led to more and more, to where today this woman, Julie, has more than enough support herself and her family because she asked her Christian sisters and brothers to pray with her and open God's way. You never know how God is going to speak to you and give you power you did not think you had. Julie said to her pastor, "This would never have happened in my life if my friends had not prayed with me. If they had not prayed God's word for me, I lost the love of my life," she said. "And now I have, because of them, because of their prayer, because of God's word, a new love of my life. I love to teach these students, and now I love to play the piano in our contemporary service in our church. God knew just what I needed, and He gave me what I needed, even though at the beginning I could not see it for myself." You see, it may not be a life-changing decision that you face, like I did, or like Julie did. It may be a need for guidance in your attitude, your values, your priorities, some temptation that you face, some challenge in your marriage, some decision you need to make about your career. What Jesus says to us, seek and you will find. But don't bother to do it on your own. Pray God's word and pray with your Christian brothers and sisters, and He will open your eyes to the way to give you what is good. Yet there are times when our need for God is specific and clear. That is when we need to embrace and seize Jesus' second promise of prayer, which is to ask for God to give you what you want. Yes, I said what you want. And God will give you what you need, what He knows is good. Jesus promises everyone who asks receives. You notice these are not conditions except for asking. Jesus says everyone who asks will receive. The word "ask" that Jesus uses has a connotation to it more than a question, which is to request what you want. That's what happens when we ask. You see, I once thought that we weren't supposed to ask God for what we want. I learned a lesson about this in a very direct way one day. I was teaching, pontificating in our adult class at Myers Park Presbytery, and I was on a roll, and so I was such on a roll, somebody started talking about prayer, and I said, "God does not want you to pray about that. That's too superficial and too selfish." I was on a roll. That's all I got to say. And I remember she was sitting right about where Joe is sitting. In fact, her name was Joe. Oh, my goodness. Her name actually was Joe. By the way, Joe had asked me to preside at her funeral, so it must have worked out okay. So Joe looked at me, and she said, "You're not right about that. God wants us to pray whatever is on our heart, and there's no such thing as a correct prayer. There's no such thing as a theologically correct list of words that we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray what is on our heart and nothing is off limits for God. And I said, you know what? You're right. See, she was so right. The Message version of this says, be direct. Ask for what you want. Do not play cat and mouse with God. And Martin Luther, one of the founders of our Protestant Reformation, when he wrote his commentary on these verses in Luke, said, do not lie to God. And what he meant by that was, don't make up some prayer that is something that's not on your heart. You want a Mercedes? Ask for it. No, not really. But you can. Pray what is ever on your heart. Because otherwise, you're just lying to God in your prayer. You're trying to hide from Him what's going on in there. And God doesn't like that. And what Martin Luther goes on to say, when you lie to God and not praying for whatever you want in your heart, you're cutting off the power He could have given you. You see, the truth is, in the letter of James is this, you do not have what you need because you do not ask. And my friends, we can trust God to transform what it is we want to what it is we need to what it is that will be good. So don't hold back from God. Ask God for whatever it is you want. And do not give up on God. Just keep on asking for what you want, and He will give you what we need and what will be good, even when, maybe especially when, it involves a prayer for another person who will not or cannot pray for themselves. I want to share with you how this lesson is taught by a man named Richard Foster. He is one of the gurus of prayer in practicing it and teaching it in this country. Richard, a few years ago, became a professor at a university, early on in his time. And one night, Marie, who was a freshman, had been drinking too much. She was drunk. She came home from a party. She tripped on a curb and smashed her head on the concrete. They took her to the hospital, ICU. And Richard just happened to be at the hospital that night, and he went by to see her. The college chaplain and a local pastor were there. The pastor shook his head and said, this is what happens when you make bad decisions in the prayer. The chaplain said, he prayed this prayer, Lord, let your will be done for Marie. Richard was disgusted with their response. So as their friends and parents began to arrive, this is what Richard urged them to do. Bathe Marie in your prayers every minute. Do not doubt for a moment what God can do for Marie. And you picture in your mind Marie getting up and walking out of here. You pray for Marie to be healed. And they did. For 72 hours straight, they gathered and, taking turns, bathed Marie in prayer for her to be healed and for her to get up and walk out of that room someday. About the end of those 3 days, as her parents were by her bedside praying for her to be healed, Marie woke up. 1 week later, she walked out of that hospital. The doctors had absolutely no explanation. Now, for reasons unknown to us, it doesn't always work out that way. We pray for Marie to heal, and she dies. But we do know this. Jesus urges us to pray what is on our heart, to pray what we want. And our prayers, my friends, make a difference to God. Otherwise, why do I pray for you every day? Why do we stand up here and ask for your prayers every day? Because we believe, because we have experienced in our own lives, that when we pray, God uses those prayers in amazing ways. So we don't know how God answers every prayer sometimes. We don't know that inside this person where we see no difference, that God is making a difference. And we don't know when Marie passes on what good God is doing for her beyond this place. So my friends, I just urge us to ask for what we want and trust that God will respond to our prayer. Everyone who asks will receive. We'll receive what we need and what is good. Yet, there are times when we don't need guidance. There are times when we don't even know what to ask for. And that is when we need Jesus' third promise of prayer, which is this: knock on the doors that seem closed to what is good for God to get you through whatever it is you face. And He will open the door of your heart. He'll open the door of your life to Himself. And what could be better than that? Jesus promises for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. This is the truth illustrated by the young boy and her father who were driving along a mountain road, a narrow road, and they came to a curve, and it was a huge rock that was blocking the road, and the son said to the father, "Can I move that rock?" And his father said, "Sure, if you use all your strength." So the boy got out and he pushed and shoved and pulled. That rock did not budge, and he cried out to his father, "Father, you said that I could move this rock and it will not budge. It's too much for me." Father said, "That's because you did not use all your strengths. You did not ask me to help." Now friends, there are seemingly immovable rocks in all of our lives. There's not one for you now. There's one coming. Not one for you now. There's somebody in your life sitting in this room right now who's got a big rock that they cannot move themselves. And what Jesus says to us is, knock, and the door will be opened. Even that door will be opened. God will give you His strength, His peace, His life-living presence. He'll give you what is good. I have seen this, my friends, in my life so many times. I saw it last October and November and December and January and February, and March, and April, and today, in the life of my sweetie. God gave her strength and peace and power she never thought she could have. And I saw it again this week. As you know, our friend Angela, who's sitting in her regular seat, thank you, Angela, for not moving around like we won't even know where you are. So Angela, as you know, has been diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. So we're praying for Angela. And I check in with her every few days to see how it's going. So on Tuesday this week, I ask Angela, "How are you? How is your heart?" And Angela answered me. And as soon as I hung up with Angela, I called Sally. I want her to hear this. And then I said, "We all need to hear this." And so, I wasn't sure if Angela could be here or if she could be here, whether she would be willing and able to come up here and share with you herself. So I did a video. First video I've ever done. And it's just beautiful. So now I just want Angela, by video, Todd, to tell her story.
All right, now, Angela, thank you for meeting with me today and sharing with your Meadowlake family part of your story. It's a great story. And while we're at it, there is Cookie, who wants to be part of the story. So anyway, Cookie can do whatever Cookie wants with his love. All right, so Angela, tell us about how this whole issue, health issue, came about in your life.
Well, I first started having some vision issues. I couldn't tell whether I was having trouble seeing or processing, so I started out going to the ophthalmologist, and after 3 or 4 weeks of going back and forth with that, I'm still not getting a whole lot. I started developing migraines, and headaches were getting really bad. Then decided I better go to my primary care physician. And she immediately started ordering tests. I had a CT scan that showed a spot up on my brain, but they didn't know what it was, and I put it into an MRI. They still wasn't sure what that was, but then they did a full body scan to see if I had cancer anywhere else, and that came up negative. So on the day of the surgery, the doctor came in and said he didn't know what we were up against, that everything was up in the air. That once he got in there, he could try to figure out whether it was just an infection or a tumor or even MS. And it happened really quick. And it turned out to be a tumor, a brain tumor, that was somewhat close to my optical nerve, which is why it was affecting my vision.
Yeah. So what do you do next? What comes next to you?
Well, I will have radiation and chemo. I'll have 6 weeks of radiation, 5 days a week. And then after that, I'll have 6 months of chemo.
So tell us how you're feeling.
I feel great. I'm weak from, having had major surgery, but I just feel so blessed. I can't believe that in the middle of pregnancy I can say how blessed I feel, but I have really been blessed through this whole process.
So talk to us about that.
Well, just God has mapped this whole thing together to one, to reach me, and two, to show me that I had so much going on in my life and so many people that cared about me, and that I needed to quit being so concerned for myself and to realize what He was doing for me and to be more open to doing what He would want me to do. I used to think I had a head issue, that I couldn't understand how God loved me. But I finally realized it was a heart issue. I was guarding my heart. I was afraid. I wouldn't open up. I wouldn't turn loose of control. But through this, I got to the point where I wasn't in control. I mean, I had a disease that I wasn't going to be able to fix. I needed care that I wasn't going to be able to provide, and I had to just turn it over to God. And the minute I did that, it was like I was illuminated. I felt like Paul with the scales falling off his eyes. I immediately kind of understood what God had been trying to direct me to all these years, that He's there, He loves me, He's going to take care of me, and that I can release all my fears and concerns over to Him. Will provide whatever I need for whatever comes along. And I feel 100% positive that no matter what happens, I'm going to be just fine. Whether the cancer returns or it goes away, whatever the outcome, I'm going to be fine.
So talk to us a little bit about your prayer life and how you feel lifted up by prayer. How has prayer affected this journey?
Well, I have definitely felt like I've been prayed for, because I have strength that is not of my own. There's no way I have all this strength and courage. This is coming from somewhere deeper within. And to see all the little pieces that God's mapped together has just been exciting and thrilling to see how He's... I mean, going back years, people that I've met and worked with and got to know that have come alongside me to help out or to do whatever, that, I never would have thought that they would be there now for me. But, God was working.
So how does your heart feel right now?
I'm very uplifted. I'm so at peace. I'm so excited. I feel so alive. I feel so blessed. And I can see how Paul can say, in any circumstances, he knows that he's all right, because that's the way I feel.
So, what last word would you say to your Metlake family?
Let loose of your heart. Quit guarding it. Let God in, because He's amazing.
So, Angela, thank you so much for sharing this part of your story. We know we love you. We're lifting you up every day in prayer. And we know that God will care for you and give you peace. And just by knowing you and hearing your story and walking beside you, we will be blessed as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Angela, thank you for sharing your story. I think you can see why it inspired me and why Jesus says, yes indeed, it may feel like there's an immovable rock in your life, but if you'll just ask, you'll receive. You know, I just want to show you three final slides. Our prayer life is on our knees like this with our hands open, Lord, it's out of my control. And what begins to happen is this. God's light begins to shine in our light, and then we're like Angela, like this. Thank you, God. Angela's faced with this challenge in her life, and her word is, I am so blessed. Because I stopped guarding my heart. I've let God come in. And God is amazing. Let's pray. Jesus, you promise us that if we seek, we will find. If we ask, it will be given to us. And if we knock on that door that seems so closed, it will be open for us. And when that door opens, Lord, it's going to be you coming into our lives. In the midst of whatever is happening, we have strength and courage and peace and excitement that can only come from you, Lord. We are so grateful, Jesus, that you said, you want the power, just ask for it.